like the other software. All right. Anyway, like I was saying, folks, you know, I'm ready for this message because I've been thinking about it, and some of the things that me and my wife is kind of, it's not a bad thing, but the things that we're enduring of this new ministry, the new church, the travel times, you know, going up there and back and other things, you know. We've been having some oppositions, you know, trying to discourage us, you know, trying to, the enemy's trying to talk to us saying, hey, you know, you need to quit, you know, you quit driving up there, that's too long, get comfortable, you don't need to do this and that and that. And I'm telling you, folks, it's like things have just been happening to us, and it's trying to, you know, in my word, it's trying to discourage us from this ministry. But you know what? I'm encouraged about this message tonight because, again, like I said, it spoke to me. And generally, when I come to you with messages, folks, a lot of times I either endured it, went through it, or going through it at the current moment. And right now, we're going through some of it. And I kind of hope this message tonight does encourage you, you know, because I was led to it for a specific reason. And to me, it's just speaking of what I keep reviewing my notes. So I'm glad that you're here. A few are not here for whatever reason. I don't know what happened. We're just going to have to pray for them. But, you know, hey, I'm glad that y'all are here. And again, it doesn't matter what it's to here. I'm still going to keep preaching. And now I'm more encouraged since we got new software. Because once this system is abandoned, we have something new to fall back on. So now that's got me even more encouraged. You know what? Things is looking good for us. Amen. So the question I was thinking about when I started this, and I had to think about it for a little bit. When trouble strikes, we sometimes forget our knowledge of God. We struggle to recall past answers to prayers, specific guidance provided by the Holy Spirit, and lessons learned in previous crisis. Only the present to us seems real. Our minds spins with future implications, and our troubled emotions inhibit clear thinking. In our own strength, we lack sufficient resources and abilities to meet life's challenges. So God provides what we need, and someone just said that a little while ago. God provides what we need. Our suffering is never a surprise to the Lord. In case if you ever thought about that, nothing that we do, nothing that we go through never surprises God. God already knows. He knows everything that we're going through. More than that, He, and this is what I was thinking, He is orchestrating our circumstances for His glory and our benefit according to His goodwill. Reflecting on the divine purpose in hardship, folks, can help us respond to trials in a God-honoring way. Now, let's take a moment to fix our attention on the Lord and seek to understand four lessons we're going to cover tonight that He wants us to learn through life's darkest moments. If you got your Bibles with you, folks, we're going to be in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 27, verses 22 through 29. Acts chapter 27, verse 22 to 29. And starting with verse 23. And it says, "For this very night there stood before me an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sailed with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God. That is, it will be exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on some island. And when the 14th night had come, as we were being driven across the Arctic Sea, about midnight the sailors suspected that they were nearing land. So they took a sounding and found 20 fathoms. A little further, they took a sounding again and found 15 fathoms. And fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down 4 anchors from the stern and pray for the day to come. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, O Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight. Father, whatever storms we may be facing or trials or whatever difficulties it may be, Father, we ask of you to give us the guidance, the wisdom, the understanding, the comfort. Show us what we need to do during our trials and storms that we face in life. Show us what we need to really cling on to, the anchor, as we want to call it here tonight, Father. We need that anchor, and we need it so badly. And we ask of you, if we are enduring some things, you know, just help us see through it. Because, again, if we stay focused and stay on course, we know that you will get us through all these things. And, Father, if there's anything within me that I have said today or thought of today or my attitude or my words or whatever it may be, please forgive me where I have fallen short of your precious glory. I'm sorry if I was not pleasing to you today, but, you know, Father, again, I'm not making an excuse for myself, and all I can do is ask you for forgiveness. I ask of you to anoint those who are here tonight. Watch over them, put a protective hedge around them. Watch over them, and those who cannot make it here tonight for whatever reason, watch over them also and assure them that you are always there. Father, we praise you. We glorify you. We all say this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now I grab me a quick little sip of water, and y'all can type amen if you're still here with me. Are you? I'm assuming you are. So anyway, can everybody almost hear me? I'm making sure that you're with me. All right, I'm getting a little nervous. Fixing thing. Hey, we're going through another storm. But anyway, folks, the title of this message tonight is called 4 Anchors That Will Hold. 4 Anchors That Will Hold. It was January 26, 1961, when my ship left harbor on a journey where I would have to face storm after storm. A journey that I would lead, or a journey that would lead to where I am now and what I am now. Let me repeat this. When I left that harbor back in January 26, 1961, it's leading me to a journey where I am now and what I am now. And the reason why I'm saying it is because Paul said it best. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Each one of you have departed from the harbor either before me or after me, but the fact is that our ships have been at sea since the day until now. And in our journey of life, we all, one time or another, had to sail through storms of life. Examples are these. A man drives his work day after day, having to face difficulties and confusion along with the chaos of it all. It becomes a dread to go out there. Storms. A strong thunderstorm sweeps through an area and destroys a farmer's crops and his barns, and he's already in deep debt. Storms. A widow faces an empty house and a bed for the first time in 40 years. Storms. Parent sits on a couch. It's 3 in the morning. Their 16-year-old son has not come home. They fear he has been drinking. As they wait, Dad has another beer. Storms. We face them, don't we? Some are physical, like us, hurricanes down here, floods, earthquake. Some are personal, a death, job, solid friendships. These storms, folks, are a part of life. You know the right question is not whether they will come, or when, but how will we respond to them? Do you get that? These storms will come, folks. So the question that we need to ask, how will we respond to them? How do you respond to storms in your life? Do you have an anchor in your life that will secure you? What do you hold on to when life sweeps you off your feet? Do you run to God or do you run from God? Folks, I see this often when we're faced with storms and we tend to run from God, run from His Word, and run from church. I see this a lot with many Christians today. In fact, when all this is happening, we should be anchoring down to Him, to His words, and to the church. See, whenever we face storms, that should be our key anchors. That should be the source. That's what we should be doing. We shouldn't be running away from these things. We should be running to. See, Paul himself, he faced a life-threatening storm. He was on his way to Rome to see Caesar, to stand trial. And the Bible says, if you read further up in that chapter, for 14 days, the ship was in a raging sea. But Paul never panicked. Never did. But as the crew panicked, Paul stood and shared the anchors that held his life secured with a peace beyond man's understanding. The four anchors we're going to cover here tonight is the first one is anchor one, if you look at verse 24, is God. That should be our first anchor, folks, God. When you look at Acts 27, 23, 24, and you're looking at these words right there, which I say, saying, fear not, Paul. Fear not, Paul. God is telling us, folks, fear not. See, Paul, he had the assurance of God in his life. Do you have that assurance that Paul had? Do you? The omnipotent one, where everything depends and is controlled by God, the God of the universe, the self-existing one, the Holy One. Paul knew this, where he stood with God. He did. And can you honestly say the same tonight as you're listening to me? Can you honestly say this? My anchor is in God. Look at verse 23, folks. Look at it again if you got your Bible still in front of you. For when he says it, he said this, for there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve. Paul is saying that God owns him. Listen, you can't truly serve him until he owns you. Do you get that? You can't truly serve God until he fully owns you 100%. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And 1 John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And in the book of Exodus chapter 21 verse 6, we see a custom that was used back then to mark ownership of a servant. Then it reads this, then his master shall bring him to judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the door post, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, A-W-L, and he shall serve him forever. Maybe this is the reason, and I'm not trying to point anything out to anybody, but I know this is just what I have ran into with many folks that I have talked to. Maybe this is the reason that your relationship with God isn't what it should be. For many Christians today have laid down the position of servants. That's right, they laid it down. They don't fully understand what it means to be a servant. They'd rather be served than be servants. And I see this too many times in many churches that I have visited and pastored, taught, and whatever. Many Christians I have encountered. Many I have ran into, and I'm sure that maybe you have seen them too. I'm pretty sure Coram has because he teaches. But I have seen many that rather be served than be servants. We must be servants, folks. We must be servants of the living God Himself. But sadly, many folks today in our churches are not service-oriented. They're not. Too many really has what I call the me-first mentality. That's what's going on with them. It's about me. What's in it for me? What can I get out of this? That's right. They have the me-first spirit. And that's what I call it. It's the me-first spirit about them. Or the me-only attitude, as I would also add on to it. Folks, it's not about us. It's about Him, the Almighty One. We should be His servants. Anchor 2, in case you've ever dealing with storms in your life. Your first anchor, folks, if you're dealing with storms, is God. But if you need a little bit more, if you want to get four anchors to depend on what Paul's talking about, well, the second one is, and you look at verse 22 to 23, is talking about courage. Courage, my friends. Do you think that Paul feared? I believe he did. After all, he was human. Am I right? We're all human. Do we fear sometimes? I know I do. I'm not ashamed to admit to you tonight that, hey, does Brother Jim have fear sometimes? Yes, I do. We all fear certain things, but understand this. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the ability to go on in spite of it. I define it as the ability to hang on for 5 more minutes. Oh, God. That's my courage. You feel like you just can't hang on any longer. You feel like you're at wit's end. But just 5 more minutes, God. 5 more minutes. 5 more. Courage, my friends. Hang on to it. I heard it in this way. The muscle of character that helps us continue in the midst of overwhelming odds. Courage. Verse 22-23 says, "And now I urge you to take heart and do not be afraid." And examples of this kind of courage, my friends, you can find it all throughout the Bible. These are just a few examples of courage. David, he had it when he grabbed his slingshot. Y'all know that story. Daniel had it when he refused to bow down. You should know that story by heart, too. Elijah had it when he faced the prophets of Baal. Job had it when he was covered with boils and misunderstood. Moses had it when he stood against the Pharaoh. Folks, the list can go on. Courage is your second anchor. And you, beloved, tonight, you can have it too. God will help you persevere through whatever you're going through tonight. Have courage in the face of your storm. The third anchor, which I talk about and Paul's talking about, and you look at verse 23, he's talking about protection. We're talking about God and courage, but now we're talking about protection, my friends. Protection. Paul was protected by God's angels. He knew he belonged to God, and that brought him peace in the midst of his storm. He knew it. He knew it. That brought him peace, my friends. He had it. That if God was for you, come on, folks, if God was for you, who can be against you? Come on, I said who? Who can be against you if God is for you? Y'all should know this. Somebody give me a bone here. Give me an answer. If God is for you, who can be against you? Don't be afraid. The answer should be simple. No one. Nothing. Not even Satan himself. But I believe God's kind of leading me to go this way with it. Many of God's people today are prematurely bailing his ship, and the results are shipwrecked lives. That's right. When they are facing storms in their lives, they panic. They don't look to the real source of their anchors. And all of a sudden, they bail ship. And before you know it, their lives is nothing but a shipwreck. Have you bailed ship? Could that be the reason you have no desire for spiritual things? For God? His words? Or the church? Could it be? Listen, the only way to stay on course is to ride it out, folks. Ride it out. Now, I'm not going to say, you know, hey, give you some of my old secular ways, but it was a song by REO Speedwagon, and yes, I was a rocker, you know, listening to that secular music, but there was a storm by REO Speedwagon called Riding the Storm Out. Are you riding that storm out? Are you? Folks, the best thing you need to do is understand God's protection. As he told Paul, he should be telling each one of us when we're facing storms, stay in the ship. Stay in the ship. Don't bail. It may seem like you're facing overwhelming odds, but I'm telling you, don't bail. Trust God. And I love the story I was reading in one of Billy Graham's book, and I'm sure you might have heard this about God's protective hand. And he was talking about a missionary named John Patton, and he knows all about protection. One night, hostile natives surrounded the home of Reverend Patton and his wife, intending to set their house on fire and kill the missionaries. And during those long, terrifying hours, the Pattons, they prayed for God's protection. But when morning finally came, they were relieved and amazed to find that their would-be attackers had left. God had delivered them. And sometime afterwards, the chief of the tribe himself became a believer of Jesus Christ. And Patton, he asked the chief why his tribe had not burned his house on that evening long ago. And the chief looked at him in a surprised way and says, "Who were all those men you had with you there?" And the missionary answered, "There were no men there, just me and my wife." The chief, he insisted that surrounding the missionary's home were hundreds of men standing guard. Large men wearing shining garments and wearing drawn swords. The natives, seeing the imposing guards, had quietly withdrawn. Yes, folks, God does protect his children. God's protection, now look, pay attention to this, please. God's protection does not mean absence of danger. Think about that one. I have heard some people say, you know, well, Jim, hold on a minute. If I'm protected by God, then why do I face danger? Folks, my answer to this is we're not exempt from danger. We're not exempt from trials. We're not exempt from tribulation. We're not exempt from hurts. We're not exempt from pains. But God's protection, again, does not mean the absence of danger. They do come at us. You got to understand, we are children of God. We are protected by God, but we are living in a fallen world, a sinful world. You know, we think about it, well, where's God at? No, God's here. He's here. But it's sin that's causing the danger. It's sin that's causing the problem. But yet, he does protect. He does. Make sure where your anchor lies at. Make sure you know where it lies at. We get to our fourth anchor for tonight. Four anchors, folks. God Himself. God Himself. Courage and protection. And verse 24, the fourth anchor. Purpose. Purpose. See, in the midst of a storm, Almighty God was in control. And in fact, this storm was part of God's plan. Really? That's right, folks. That's right. In the midst of our storms, no matter what we are going through, there's a purpose in it. We may not see it right off bat. We may not understand why. We may not configure it out. Sometimes we may let our minds race and run away, and we're just getting in a frenzy and thinking about it. But you know what? Whenever we are facing those storms, we just should step back and do that. God has a purpose. And that storm for us and that we face is part of His plan. A part of that plan for Paul, if you read further on, was to be shipwrecked. And I'm probably going to chop this word up because, you know, I'm just an old Cajun boy down here. But part of that plan for Paul to be shipwrecked on the islands of Mortella, or Mortelia, however you pronounce it. I'm sorry, but I hadn't figured out how to pronounce that yet. Or Malta, however you pronounce it. But that was part of his plans to be shipwrecked on that island. And they were met by a tribe who took them from the storm. But while Paul, he was putting sticks in the fire. And the Bible says that a viper came out of the heat of the fire. And it bit him on the hand. And it hanged on. And the people around that fire, they watched in amazement as Paul, he was shaking the snake off, man. That thing was bit into him good, and boy, and there he is. He's just flipping that hand, trying, you know, like we do with flies or whatever. We just want to get him off, and Paul just kept shaking that viper. He kept shaking that snake off, and finally it flew off. I don't know where it went, but finally it got off of him. And then those tribes, they started watching him. They started watching him for a period of time. They were waiting because they knew, see, these vipers on that island, boy, they were deadly. Once you got bitten them, no time flat, you were dead. And they watched him for a period of time. They watched for that arm to swell up. And they just watched for him to drop dead at any moment. But guess what? Guess what? He didn't. Then later Paul prayed and he healed the chief's father who was very ill. It was then that they realized Paul was no criminal. No, this man cannot be no criminal. I don't care what they're saying about him. I don't care what they're doing to him. There's no way, Jose. This guy cannot be a criminal, not seeing what we saw. And they realized this. And they realized that he was not no criminal. But they realized he was a man of God. A man of God. And I believe, my friends, after that, a great revival broke out and men were saved. Could we use a revival like that today for us, the churches? Sadly, we were talking about that Wednesday night, you know, about the condition of the United States. And we was talking, you know, and using biblical terms and wondering why are we in such a state that we're in today. You know why, folks? Because God is no longer involved. Even Christians today no longer has God in their life. They are worshiping some other Jesus. They don't have the right anchors. That's what their problem is. And God, I firmly believe, is allowing us to go through these calamities, allowing us to go through these storms. Because again, He's calling out to us. He's giving us a chance. He's letting us go through these storms. But yet, you know, as I was reading this morning, if we were to humble ourselves and call out to Him, He would hear us. He would hear us. Listen, folks. Having confidence in the will of God will also serve as an anchor for us to lean on through our darkest storms we face in life. Let me repeat this. Having confidence in the will of God will serve as an anchor for us to lean on through the darkest storms we face. And while these sailors cast their four anchors down into the waters with no results, Paul cast his upward and got possible results that brought him closer to God, gave him courage in the midst of a hopeless storm, gave him confidence that God's protective hand is with him, and he came to understand that God always has a purpose and a plan. Though it may not always be pleasant for us, it may not be, folks, but one thing is for sure, God is in control. God is in control. So in closing, my friends, I'll leave y'all with this for tonight. What storms that you are facing right now in your life, whatever they may be, do you feel like there's no end in sight? Do you feel at times it's more than you can handle? Or more than you can bear? You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you get to this point and you feel like you're so overwhelmed and I don't know what to do. It's hard. God, please. Remember this also. And I had to be reminded of this myself. You know it hurts. You can be both in the center of God's will and still in a storm. Do you understand that? You can still be in God's will, but yet you can still be in a storm. And yes, at times in these storms, we may not sense God's presence during these crises, but He has promised to us always to be with us. That's right, Jesus Himself says, "Lo and behold, I am with you till the end." And folks, if you paid any attention to this last night, because it's spoken to me, if you latch on to the four anchors spoken about, what we talked about tonight, if you latch on to them, you can know this fact with confidence. The fact is, the assurance that the Lord will never leave provides you immediate comfort, an infusion of courage, and a sense of confidence to endure. Look, no one enjoys suffering. I can contest to that. No one enjoys suffering. But in the hands of the Almighty God, trials become tools. He uses hardship to shape believers into the people He intends them to be. Even Jesus, my friend, you think about it. Even Jesus Himself allowed the disciples to exercise the fear and anxiety of being in a boat on a raging sea. He permitted them to suffer because He had something far more important to teach them. He wanted the disciples to recognize their own helplessness, His sufficiency, and their dependence on Him. Do you get that? So take this to heart tonight before you leave. When you feel like giving up, when you feel like giving up, look up. Don't hold your head down. Don't. Look up. Look up. Look up towards heaven. Fix your hope on Him and ask God to reveal His abiding presence in the midst of your trouble. And remember, He always provides for your spiritual needs to help you both endure and grow stronger in your Christian faith. Amen. Let's pray. Father, right now I stand before you just trying to, I'm not just going to say it in an off-mannered way, trying to figure out what to say to you. You already know most likely what I'm thinking. Yes, I know at times when we're facing storms and trials in our lives, we kind of let it get out of control. We kind of panic a little bit, and sometimes we think about jumping ship. I know these things are allowed for a reason. I know that we have to endure them. I know we have to go through them. But you know what? If we keep focused on you and stay the course and stay in the boat, it'll be okay. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult at times. Yes, we question. And yes, we do ask questions again. But as even Paul, he knew where his anchors held. Well, I was reminded of a song I was kind of thinking about today. I should have played it, but, you know, I was thinking about it. The anchor holds. So we need to think tonight, where is our anchor and what it is held on to? Is it self, things of this world, or is it you? So I ask of you to be with us, to give us the courage, give us the confidence, and help us during our trying times. And Father, all we want to do is try to be pleasing to you the best to our abilities, and we do fail at many times. So all I can do is just say, please forgive me again where I have missed your mark. And I ask of you just to comfort me and comfort those who are here tonight. I don't know what storms they're facing right now, but I'm pretty sure they're either dealing with one, or came out of one, or fixing ahead in one. No matter what, we need that assurance, and we need those anchors. So thank you, God, for loving us and being with us in mind, body, and spirit. We praise you and glorify you. We give it all back to you in the sweet name of Jesus. We all say, amen.